This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, what's happening in San Diego? And welcome into Gwen and Chris. Happy Tuesday to you. 2:00 is the time. We're getting underway a minute early today, which is a good thing. We need every minute we can get. It's a short program. We'll be on till about 3:30 this afternoon, and then we'll make way for Sammy Leavitt and the Padre pregame show. And then at about 4:30 this afternoon, the Padres will face Wade Miley and the Milwaukee Brewers. Game 2 of a 3-game series. Chris Ello, Matt Scraby together here in the Odyssey Palace. Tony Gwynn Jr. should be joining us along the way. He is in Milwaukee, of course, getting ready for the call of tonight's ball game. And Scraby, as I tweeted out this morning, the Padres are rolling merrily along.
Merrily along.
You like how I did that? You like what I did there?
I do. I do like that.
You just,
I like that
you just
a lot.
Figured it out.
I did. I was
it's a good thing you're on top of things. Yes.
Oh, that's a good one.
They're rolling. Would it help you if I said they're rolling Jackson merrily along?
Yes, but you know what? Everybody
you
out
shouldn't
there
need that.
Doesn't know this about you, but you are really good at coming up with titles.
I'm the things. Master of turning a phrase. Yes. Jackson Merrill does it again last night. 3 more hits and the key hit of the ball game. I mean, you know, this is what we talked about yesterday. It's not just that he's hitting 356, which is extraordinary, by the way. It's that the hits he gets them at the most opportune time.
Exactly.
And yesterday, here you are in the middle of a rally in the 5th inning. It was really, I hate to say this like this, but it was a rally that probably should have never happened. Thank you, Milwaukee Brewers. Kicking the ball all over the infield, pass balls, catcher's interference.
Everything under the sun.
Shot clock violations, not basketball, Chris.
Pitch clock
violations. Pitch clock violations. I mean, they did everything to help the Padres along, but you still needed one more, you know, you needed to stick the fork in and put a capper on the rally. And that's what Jackson Merrill did. His 2-run single broke the game open a little bit. Luis Camposano had a good, he's been struggling lately, but he had a 2-hit inning, which is something you can put on the, you know, the positive side when you check in with St. Peter's up there.
The baseball bingo card.
Yeah, check in with St. Peter's. How was your life, son? Well, I don't know, but once I had 2 hits in an inning. So that's a positive achievement.
That is.
Goes on your positive ledger. Camposano singled in a run, 7-3 at that point. And for the third time in 3 victories, right? Their last 3 victories, Padres bullpen, letter perfect, right? They had 6 shutout innings in the game on Friday night when they beat the Dodgers. They had 4 shutout innings on Sunday when they beat the Dodgers. And they had 3 shutout innings yesterday, capped off by the flame-throwing Robert Suarez's 6th save. So all is good in Padre land, or is it? Now we get some negative news. Jay Cronenworth will not be in the lineup today. But Tony Gwynn Jr. will be in the lineup today, and here he is from Milwaukee, joining us from the booth. Hello, TG Jr. How are you today, sir?
Hello, sir. I am well, sir.
Did you catch my... I turned this phrase to
open
this...
I caught it.
You caught it.
I caught it.
But Scraby didn't get it. Scraby
didn't...
Oh, nobody told me.
Yeah, no, it's all good. You guys had a great opening. Great opening to the show, I must say. Bravo to you guys.
I gotta say, this camera thing is really getting annoying because every day now I have a new problem to deal with.
And a new excuse to make.
No, so there's no excuses.
Is that why you sounded is that why you sounded preoccupied when Chris was asking you if you caught it or not? You
didn't.
Yeah, he didn't
sound like you were really paying attention.
He didn't get
to that
the merrily along thing.
No, I mean,
he needed help.
Let's be honest, it would always have taken me 15 seconds.
Yeah, that's true. Somebody from the chat probably had to chime in and let him know what was going on there. Well, Tony, I think things are moving along nicely. They've won 4 out of 5, the Padres. And the way they're doing it, in come-from-behind fashion. They've had 10 wins now this season. In exactly half of them, five, they have trailed in the ball game. This is their third comeback of the year from three runs or more behind. They only did that four times all of last season. They've already done it three times this year, and we're midway through April. And having the ability to come back is a really, really nice thing to be able to lean on. Number one, it gives your pitchers a little more reason to relax at the outset of a game. You don't have to worry about giving up a run. And the confidence it builds is something that always seems to lead to success down the road.
Yeah, I hear no lie in that that idea that it builds confidence for sure. I think this is it's April 16th, still early, but this is because they've done it so often so early, it seems like it's starting to become part of their identity. And this is something that Mike Shildt talked a lot about during spring training, you know, when he was asked that, it felt like every other week he was asked, what is this team's identity? And he was like, you know, we don't know. I think over the course of the season, your identity is kind of established in that. And, you know, at least through the first 2.5-3 weeks, their identity is a team that's just, they're not going to quit. Whether they win or lose, they're just going to keep trying to put runs on the board. It's going to come in all, you know, kinds of fashion. They're going to hit the long ball. They're going to get some jam shots. They're going to hit a bunch of missiles. They just kind of play the game. And they're not perfect by any means, but they certainly are starting to get, it seems like, better and better as an offense, just kind of moving the line.
Dylan Cease will be on the mound tonight for the Friars against Wade Miley. But we did mention the small fly in the ointment, Jay Cronenworth, out of the lineup for the first time this season. He was replaced late in the game yesterday by Brett Sullivan. Sullivan has now gone down to AAA. He has been replaced on the roster by Matthew Batten. Jerickson Profar moves over to first base tonight. Jose Azokar gets a start in left field. And how's Jake? I mean, what do you know? Anything, Tony? Did you run into him somewhere along the line?
I didn't, but you know, after the game last night, it sounded like he had a little something going on with his calf.
Okay.
And so, I mean, the mere fact that they called somebody up, and although it wasn't to put him on the IL at this point, they're probably going to go day to day until. And this is just me speculating because they haven't said anything. They did say after the game, though, that he came out of the game due to a little calf tightness. So I think reading the tea leaves with the move made, it might be day-to-day for him, which could eventually lead to him going on the IL. I think they're just not at that point right now.
Well, let's just hope that's not the case because, like I said, everything's moving along very nicely. The Padres have even moved within a game of the first-place Dodgers, who have reacted. Dodgers, remember I said we got to tap them on the shoulder this weekend, let them know we're there. The Dodgers have reacted. Apparently they're going to call up their young slugger, Andy Pages, is going to be brought up. Reports are saying that is the case.
That kid was built for baseball.
He's also statistically seems to be built for it. He's already hit five home runs or something that at AAA. So he's off to a really good start. Jason Hayward's on the injured list, and the guys they have filling in there in L.A. have not been doing the job. So apparently the Dodgers are going to make that move, but we're not yet concerned about them. It's on to tonight's game. How would you describe that fifth inning yesterday, Tony? From the Padres side, it was a good job of taking advantage of everything they had and were given. The Brewers side, it was kind of ugly, I must say. But I mean, we'll take it.
You got to capitalize on ugliness,
yes,
though.
Yes, right.
And
and
they did. I mean, it's been really back to back games where team they're playing against has made some errors that, you know, kind of helped them in some ways. That fifth inning was just a microcosm of what that game looked like for the Brewers. I mean, they were cruising along, both sides, really just kind of plugging along. I know Joe was really struggling to find his kind of his shapes and really command the baseball. And then all of a sudden, he started to kind of settle in, got a quick inning in the fourth. He settled down. And then in the fifth, man, I don't know, Joe Ross was rolling. And then did get a couple calls, a blooper here, a jam shot here, a catcher's interference here. it just started to kind of unravel. And I mean, for a guy who was cruising, he didn't hit that point. And that's a good example of what can happen to a team when you keep giving extra outs, extra situations. Eventually, a team will crack it open. And we saw it for the Padres against the Dodgers. We saw it the previous night. And then we saw it again for the Padres last night. And, you know, they're taking advantage of it. They can't apologize because teams aren't doing their part. But they certainly are taking full advantage of it, and you know, that's part of why they've been playing better here lately.
For those who keep these kinds of records, Matt Scraby was hard at work before the program, and he was looking up to see.
Tony says, I don't know.
Well, this is actually going to turn out good, Tony. He was looking up to see what the Padre record is for most hits in the first 19 games of a player's rookie season. You want to take a guess who holds the Padre record in that category? Tony Gwynn Jr.?
Surprise me.
How about Tony Gwynn? Yeah, it's pretty hard to surprise you. He had 30 hits in his first 19 games as a rookie.
How old was your dad when he was a rookie?
Your dad. Incredible. 19.
What year was that?
Would be 83, I guess.
83.
Came up in 82.
So he would have been 23.
Yeah, 23 years old. Had 30 hits in his first 19 games. But Jackson Merrill has 21 hits in his first 19 games. And you look at the National League batting race as it stands on April the 16th. William Contreras there in Milwaukee is on top right now in the National League at 390, followed by Will Smith at 369. That in and itself is quite strange to have two catchers leading the batting race. Marcell Ozuna's off to a great start for Atlanta. He's third at 365. But in fourth place, Jackson Merrill, San Diego Padres, 356. And it's the same thing, Tony. I mean, he's getting the hits, but it's when he gets them that is even more important and more impressive.
It is. I mean, there's a lot to be impressed about with Jackson. Now, I must point out, as I've said on this show before, my dad had a saying that he used to use often when we were talking about early statistics. A horse that does his business early doesn't do it long. And so for that standpoint, that
he
applies
really had
to
that saying, huh?
Oh, it obviously it was a little more colorful than that.
I see.
It's really funny.
But yeah, I just, you know, there's so much to like with Jackson, man. Like, at this point, I feel like I'm just kind of repeating myself as it pertains to
him.
Not
a lot new to say, yeah.
But there isn't really. I mean, he just goes up there, competes, and gets the job done. Like, it ain't nothing to it. It isn't a big, booming three-run shot, but it's a knock here that drives in a run, right? It's a double down the left field line that drives in a run. It's a single up the middle to keep the inning going. I mean, he just seems to be in those spots all the time, and he's had early success with it.
Well, as we've been saying all along, I think the good news is he's doing what he's doing. The better news is that around baseball, they don't seem to be noticing. Pretty much not a day goes by that you call up, you know, the baseball page at ESPN.com and there isn't a story on Jackson Holliday or there isn't another story on Jackson Churio. Every time Jackson Holliday, you know, comes up to the plate, they stop the game.
New balls in play.
Whatever they do. Look, he could be fantastic, and I'm sure he will be. And Jackson Churio had a nice game, obviously, last night, had a two-run homer and had a couple of hits. He's got three home runs, three stolen bases. Jackson Merrill's got three stolen bases. But as we said, let Jackson just do his thing while everybody else is looking the other way. It makes it a whole lot easier for him.
Yeah, I mean, as long as it can go without everybody starting to drop cameras in here and, you know, all of a sudden changing whatever they're doing on the MLB network to tap in on what it is at bats. Like, as long as we can avoid that, the less, you know, the less pressure is at. And that's not to say that when it does happen, he won't handle it. I just think, you know, the more he could just keep going under the radar, the further along he's going to push this out. And then eventually, you know what? His numbers and his play will force them to talk about it. I'm not even mad that they're not talking about him right now. It's April 15th. I prefer them to be talking about him come July, come beyond that, because that means he has continued to do what he's doing here in the early portion of the season.
Yeah, there's no question. I mean, just let him do his thing. Just don't, you know, somebody don't fill in Brian Kenny, their pal at MLB Network. You brought up MLB Network. Because Jackson's getting a lot of singles right now, and we know that there are people in the game who don't think that's don't think that helps a team win games. They're not paying attention to what this kid is doing, because he is helping the Padres win game after game after game. And by the way, last night was the first time in over 60 years baseball that two rookies had multiple hits and multiple RBIs, two rookies of that age in the same game. So Jackson Chourio, Jackson Merrill, making a little history last night with their outstanding performance in that game. And Padres, like I said, they move within a game of the Dodgers in the National League West, for what that's worth. The runners in scoring position average, 4-for-14 last night, continues to be robust. Hitting .293, sixth best in all of baseball. In fact, the Brewers are leading that right now at .358. But they continue to be without Christian Yelich, who's not in the lineup once again tonight. All right, we'll take a quick break. Tony, we've got you for a little longer. Got to get your thoughts on tonight's big NBA game.
Oh, yeah.
Sacramento Golden State meeting. For the right to stay alive. Oh, that's right. Lakers are playing, too.
Yeah, I don't care about that game.
So you will have your head on a swivel, as you do, by the way, better than anybody I've ever seen.
Thank you.
Able to watch a Laker game that you care a lot about and broadcast as if you're a Hall of Fame radio announcer.
Well, you're too kind.
You know, I can't do it. I could never do it. I would make Dave Marcus, although he wouldn't do this, I would ask Dave Marcus kindly to turn the Laker game off while I was broadcasting, because I would not be able to do both.
If he put his hand anywhere near my television screen, might get chopped off. Plus, he's going to be watching it back there on his computer anyway.
Yeah, he needs to know what's going on as well. So Lakers NBA playoffs start tonight. We'll check in on that. All the other sports news of the day. Quick get-together. We'll be here till 3:30. Gwen and Chris saying hello on this Tuesday, 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I wonder life's little mysteries. I don't know when the... first of all, the streaming, we're sorry we didn't have it up there on YouTube for the first segment of the show. I only bring that up because it was clearly and 100% Scraby's fault that we did not get that up there in time.
Adam,
so I just want that known. Adam Klug, Adam Klug came in here like he was about to announce that his wife was pregnant or something. I'm not sure what he was excited. He was really excited, but he wanted to make sure we were on YouTube. Sorry about that. Here we are. We are ready to go. But here's one of my mysteries. I'm not sure when the YouTube kicks in to start each segment, but if you look closely at the beginning of every segment, I'm usually unraveling my headset.
I don't bring it back that quick.
You don't bring it back that quick?
Because I don't want people to see you doing the spaghetti.
It's unbelievable. It turns into spaghetti between every commercial break, these two little earbuds.
For a guy who's
drives me crazy.
The most OCD guy maybe that I know.
I know.
I think about this every single time I see his earphones like that. It's like, I know this has to be like burning his insides up looking at it like that.
It's every single break. I'm going to bring it back early next time.
Now, if you're watching on the YouTube, at the end of the segment, what I do is I take them out carefully and I place them down like that.
That is not true. You throw them like, and done then, with that segment. Boom!
And then by the beginning of the next segment, they're, you know, anyway. Something happens every single time. One of life's great little mysteries. Tonight, the NBA playoffs begin, which is kind of nice because I haven't really paid too much attention to the NBA since December. The last I looked, the Lakers were winning the in-season tournament over the Indiana Pacers Lakers wind up then with the 8 seed in the or the 8 spot in the Western Conference. The Pacers ended up as a 6 seed in the East. So the in-season tournament, though, I think was a lot of fun. It was a big success. But now we go to the play-in tournament. And the Lakers have 2 shots to get into the postseason. They either need to win tonight in New Orleans, or without that, they'd have to win a game on Friday against either Golden State or Sacramento. That game would be in Los Angeles if necessary. Tony, I ask you, as one of the great Laker fans I know, do you subscribe at all?
No.
To this theory?
No.
That if the Lakers lose tonight, they would avoid having to play the Denver Nuggets in the first round of the playoffs.
Now, you know,
I know
how
you don't subscribe to that. Of course you
know
don't.
How I feel about that. You know how I feel about that matchup, right?
Which, right. You know you have no chance to beat Denver.
However.
So, but you still don't want to take your chances.
Absolutely not.
No,
do
of
not
course
cheat.
Not. No, of course.
Basketball
not.
Gods. Don't
That's
do
right.
it.
No. It's like,
do
the,
it.
It's like the people who say, well, the game 5 of the finals is in, you know, Cleveland. Don't you want to lose so you can come back and win it at home in game 6?
Yeah.
No!
Ridiculous.
It's the stupidest it's thing
ridiculous.
I've ever heard. And they bring it up every time. They always bring it up as if the team's really going to go for game 5 of the final series and make sure that they don't win so that they can come home and
yeah, no, it's
celebrate at home. It's ridiculous.
It's silly.
Yeah,
Lakers need to go ahead and try to wrap this up quickly, get into this matchup, because listen, you never know. As down on that matchup as I am, you never know.
No,
you
could
go in there, take them out, and then you know the road to the finals to that point looks a whole lot different without Denver in it. So
if the Lakers win tonight, you're right, and then they beat Denver in the first round, there wouldn't be anything to me standing in their way that what I would consider to be a roadblock that they can't get past.
No, and there's no doubt.
I'm still convinced when the Lakers have, if Anthony Davis can just stay upright and healthy. I know he tweaked something the other day and left the final game of the regular season. He's not listening to you. He tweaked his back. Well, the goggles won't help his back. But
no, they won't.
If he got the goggles and stopped getting poked in the eye, Anthony Davis is such a force. And
he
together
is.
With LeBron, and LeBron played 70 games this year, guys. For all of those who keep thinking, boy, it seems like he sat out a lot. He played 70 games, actually 71, because they don't count
the last championship game of the play.
That's right. So LeBron played 71 games, and until further notice, he's one of the great winners in the history of the sport, and he's one of the great winners in the history of any sport, and that flies in the face of people who argue, LeBron James has lost the finals this many times, that many. He's been in the finals 11
right.
times or whatever
right.
it is. Give the guy a little credit where it's due. And I can't see New Orleans winning this game tonight. I know it's in New Orleans. I know they've got great talent. There's no way LeBron James lets this game get away. I think you're safe, Tony, to be honest with you.
I do, too. I feel pretty good about this. The New Orleans Pelicans are turning into the West version of the Toronto Raptors when LeBron was in Cleveland. Like, they could be the number one seed, and it didn't matter. If they had him in the matchup, they were going to get swept. And so I kind of look at it like that, ultimately. And so I think the Lakers will win this game, and I think ultimately they got a shot to, they ultimately have a shot to take down Denver. They probably have the best shot to take down Denver, quite frankly.
I don't disagree. I mean, the number one seed is Oklahoma City, and the number three seed is Minnesota. I don't think anybody really expects a whole lot from those two teams, being as they are so inexperienced come playoff time. I think Phoenix is always a threat because of Durant. And, the Clippers, I think, if they weren't named the Clippers, they would always be a threat because they've got so many good players, and they play Dallas. So there's some great teams in the West, but you're still going to have to find a way to beat LeBron. The other guy is Steph Curry. He'll try to pull some of his magic tonight against Sacramento. And this is a must-win game, right? We talk about it way
too
often.
Loser goes home.
But tonight is a must-win game, because if you don't win and you're the Warriors, your season is over. Charles Barkley was already on television today saying that the Warriors, as we know, no longer exist. He might be jumping the gun, but if they lose tonight, they probably should start thinking about what's next in Golden State.
So I think inevitably that is what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And their first question is, what are they going to do with Klay Thompson? He's a free agent, I believe, at the end of this year. This may be the beginning of the end in terms of those three being together.
Yeah. I already heard that Klay Thompson wants to be a Laker, so...
Wouldn't upset me at all.
I know it won't.
Is his dad still broadcasting?
I think
yeah,
so.
He
Thompson?
Still does the radio.
That would be kind of weird, huh?
Why?
I guess your dad called some of your games,
he
right,
sure
Tony?
Did.
Yeah,
he
that's
sure
true.
Did.
Never mind. Never mind.
Dads can call games. It's legal. Tomorrow night, the Eastern Conference playoffs get underway. The Chicago Bulls will begin there.
They made the playoffs?
They're they're in the play-in tournament. They've got to win that to get into the playoffs.
Right.
They will actually need to win two games. They'll have to win tomorrow against Atlanta, Adam Klug's Hawks, and then they'll have to win another game. So the Bulls' inexorable march to the offseason begins and ends probably tomorrow. There you have it on the NBA playoffs. All right, Tony. Any other news to pass along from Milwaukee that we absolutely positively have to know?
Christian Yelich went on the IL.
He did, officially.
Yes.
All right, that was kind of destined to happen.
How are you feeling, Chris?
He's
on your fantasy team.
Not for now. you don't manage your fantasy baseball team based on what could be.
Chris,
you manage
Tony,
a baseball team based on what is, and he's not on it right now.
So Chris has been playing this whole card leading up to this season. I don't want to be bad at this. It's going to be too much work. He was the first one in our league to sweep 10-0 in the second week of the season.
This is what we folks like
this.
To call a hustle.
Yeah.
Is what we like to call this.
All of a sudden, he's like a brilliant fantasy baseball
player. You've
manager.
Seen the movie White Man Can't Jump, right? Billy Hoyle pretends like he's just this kind of like run-of-the-mill hooper. He looks crazy with his aerobic socks on, and then all of a sudden he gets out there and he's hooping and he's hustling people for their money. I think that might have been what just happened to you and your boys, Matthew. Although
no.
You guys asked for the hustle.
We did, but I'm also still the champion. The league is still called Scraby's Kingdom, so he has to unseat me.
Not only is that the league called that, his team is called The Champ Is Here. I mean, you know, there's something about not wanting to put a target on your back. Scraby subscribes to the exact opposite
he
of
does.
That theory.
He wants a target on
his
back.
He wants a target on his back.
He operates best, apparently, with a target on his back.
Yeah. Now, can I correct one thing about... the stat I gave earlier about Tony Gwynn, 30 hits.
Please.
Oh,
okay.
There we go.
He did not have 30 hits, but he was at the top with 24 hits in his first 19 games. 24.
Right.
He actually started in 1982.
Yes, we know that.
So, but you said 83.
No, 83 was his rookie season.
Was his rookie season, right.
But he
broke his wrist.
In
82.
And explain to me, does his first stint in the majors not count?
You get a certain amount of games.
You're considered a rookie until you have a certain amount of at-bats or you've pitched a certain amount of innings.
Right. So he didn't quite get to the threshold in 82.
Do we have one more minute with you, Tony?
Sure.
What's going on with Angel Hernandez behind home plate tonight? What is
baseball
going to do?
That's information we positively have to know. Yes,
what is going on with him? He's behind the plate.
Yeah.
I mean... going into this game, don't you think this is going to be a wild game?
No.
Behind the plate?
You don't hope that it's going to be a wild game. You hope that it's actually, you don't even notice that he's back there.
But we will notice that.
It's not a guarantee. Because here's the thing. You've had two games in which you've seen, we've heard from Angel, at least in the regular season, right? He's done a lot more than that. So that means the other games he didn't do anything.
Angel Hernandez is in midseason form.
Did you see him strike out Wyatt
Langford?
He
didn't do anything that warranted one of those things in the other games.
First time in history an umpire was ever credited with a strikeout was when Wyatt Langford got called out by Angel Hernandez.
Yeah.
Well, I do want to know, is Jesse still on TV or is he back with you tonight?
Jesse's still on TV.
It's me and
Scan the Man.
You and Scan the Man on the radio. I got to tell you, Tony, I love you guys, but I'm going to have to just listen to Jesse squirm for a couple of innings. With Angel.
Oh, with Angel behind the
Yeah, because Jesse disc. Squirms on balls and strikes calls for sure.
He does.
And tonight there's going to be some squirming.
Balls and strikes definitely seem to annoy him when they're not called correct.
Well, squirmage. He's going to be squirming back there tonight. All right, have a good call. Good luck. Let's bring home another W, and then we'll talk to you when we talk to you. Tony Gwynn Jr., our guy in Milwaukee.
See you, Tony.
Gwynn and Chris takes a short break. Coming back, much more ahead. And you know what? Might even sneak open a couple of phone calls if you're lucky out there. 833-288-0973. Is there anything more that we can say really good about Jackson Merrill? I guess there is. We found a couple things. 3 for 5 last night. He's got three hit games already this season. Luis Camposano also has three. Two of Merrill's hits last night came with two outs. With two outs, he's hitting four. The statistics are
incredible
what you can find out.
You can find anything.
He's hitting .435 with two outs. The only player hitting better than that is some guy named Juan Soto.
Oh, I've heard of him.
I think I've heard of him.
I mean, Juan Soto is not the player that he was here, that he is in New York.
He's doing well. I was going to talk about that in a little bit.
Okay.
And Jackson Merrill also with two strikes had a base hit, two-run single last night with two strikes. He's hitting .321 with two strikes on him. Now, that's Tony Gwynn senior territory. The average for Major League Baseball players, and I heard this the other night, so it could be off by a little bit, but as of the other night, batters with two strikes are hitting .165 this year. You get the second strike, you pretty much have a guy out.
Yeah.
But not Jackson Merrill. He's hitting .321. That ranks sixth best in big league baseball. And as we said already, he's fourth in the National League batting race right now. So I was really, correct me if I'm wrong, Scraby, I was really slow on the Jackson Merrill hype train during spring training.
Yep.
I refused to jump aboard.
Yep, I was not.
I refused to jump aboard until I saw what he could do once the bell rang.
Ding.
Now the bell has rung and I'm ringing in. I mean, he's way better than anybody could have thought he was going to be. And let's just hope he keeps it up. Padre news today, as mentioned, Jake Cronenworth out of the lineup tonight, feeling some discomfort in his calf. Tony is in Milwaukee, joined us the first couple segments there from the booth. No word whether or not Jake has to go on the injured list or not, but the Padres have made a move. They have brought up Matthew Batten and sent Brett Sullivan down. Tonight, Jurickson Profar will play first base, and Jose Azokar will be in left field, while Cronenworth is out. So the first hiccup of the season, and hopefully it's not a big one. Hopefully it's just a day or two. Maybe Jake takes tomorrow off. Gets a travel day on Thursday. Hopefully, maybe ready to go Friday when they're home for Toronto. But it seems like the injured list is a possibility.
Yeah.
So we'll keep an eye on that. As Tony said, Christian Yelich went on the IL today from Milwaukee. He's been out for a while already. Atlanta Braves, you want to make fun of my fantasy team.
No,
because Yelich goes on the IL.
Yeah, you can make fun of mine.
Then I will raise you. Ozzie Albies going on the IL today.
Yep.
From your fantasy team.
I got five guys on the IL right now.
He's got a fractured big toe.
Well, he got hit by a pitch.
Yeah, he did. He did.
And
guess where that pitch hit him?
In the toe?
Oh, yeah. You're right. Very good.
I don't understand why they're not wearing steel-toed cleats.
A lot of guys wear protection for their feet.
Not Albies.
Normally for foul tips, foul balls that go right down into their foot. Albies did not have that same protection, so he goes to the injured list today.
Mm.
You mentioned, wow, we're going to take some phone calls if you'd like. And I know it's such a short show, we didn't really plan on it. But we have a segment here if you'd like to chime in. Something Padres related, something real good, something Jackson Merrill related, something that you're concerned about. You're more than welcome, 833-288-0973. But I wanted to point out, you talked about Juan Soto. And there's this growing sense of dread around Padre land that the world's worst thing happened when we traded away Juan Soto. Because now he's a Yankee, and now he's the greatest player in baseball history. So far, so good for Soto, no question. He has the same number of hits this season as does Jackson Merrill. I will tell you that, 21. He's got 3 home runs. He does have 15 RBIs. And he's got a 972 OPS. He's walked 16 times already. And we already played. He's leading the American League, by the way, in that category. And we already played for you how happy the radio folks are in New York with Juan Soto walking all the time. But here's the thing. Juan Soto, you traded him, and you knew you're going to have to bite the bullet to a certain extent because we're not watching him on a daily basis. To me, watching Juan Soto play every day is where I can start picking him apart a little bit. Miscues on defense, throwing to the wrong base, base running errors, not being aggressive enough at the plate, not coming through in clutch situations. These are all the things that bothered me last year, bothered some Padre fans, not others. You don't notice any of those things when all you see is a box score. And Juan Soto in a box score is about as good as it gets.
I agree.
All right, so let's just cast that aside for the moment. Because the Padres didn't just part, and I know the notion is every time we get rid of a player, they go on and they're unbelievable elsewhere, right? Isn't that the notion?
Pretty much.
Somebody asked Josh Hader about that.
Ugh.
Josh Hader was blasted last night.
Again.
In the 9th inning. By the Braves. I think they got him for 4 or 5 runs.
Let me double check.
In a 1-1 tie. Braves end up winning a game 6-1. I don't know how many runs was charged to Hader.
I'm checking.
But so far for Josh Hader this year, 0-2 with a 9.39 ERA. In 7 innings, he's allowed 13 base runners. He has a 1.7 whip. Josh Hader's been about as bad as you can be. Now, having said that, Josh Hader also struggled when he came to San Diego first month or two.
I said the same thing to myself.
And then once he relaxed and settled in, he was the best reliever in baseball. But right now, he's certainly not. So your thought that, hey, every time a guy leaves San Diego, they're the greatest. Well, not so far with Josh Hader. Not
well,
so far.
He did give up the 4 runs last night in a third of an inning. And you kind of just sparked something in my head.
What's that?
And I just want to say, like, I'm not watching Juan Soto jealous of him and his success in New York or anything like that. I just think it's annoying when players go elsewhere and do a bunch of stuff.
Of course
but
it is.
Moving him also moved Trent Grisham, which allowed Jackson Merrill to have a position on the field.
And if you're doing with the Yankees so far, he's 0-10 with 4 strikeouts.
I hate to say it, but that's very Grisham-like.
One other player that the Padres parted with during the offseason is also off to a really bad start. That would be our friend, Snellzilla. 2 starts for Blake Snell with the San Francisco Giants have yielded 2 losses, 7 innings, 9 hits, 10 runs, 4 walks, and a 12.86 ERA. Small sample.
Very small sample.
But my point is, not everybody that leaves here is going about it in an all-star manner so far. It's very early to make, you know, come to conclusions about this. But I just want you to understand that if you're upset because Juan Soto is, you know, taking over the American League, understand some of the other guys who left have not been as successful yet.
That's a good thing to point out because it's true.
Trying to keep everybody off the ledge there.
I'm more concerned about how big of a Merrill Madness fan I am because it's becoming to the point where it's like, I want to live vicariously through Jackson Merrill. He's 20 years old. He's playing extremely well in the big leagues. This is what movies are sometimes.
And if you look at ESPN.com right now on the baseball page, there's a big story about Jackson Holliday.
Oh, that's so great.
Like I said before, let Jackson Merrill do his thing and just keep moving along merrily.
There you go. Another guy who's actually playing really well right now, Seth Lugo, is pitching out of his mind.
Oh, good call. The Royals have been off to a really nice start, and Seth Lugo's pitching well. I think he had shutout baseball last night.
He did.
If I'm not mistaken, six or seven innings. Although, does it count against the White Sox?
I thought the same thing, but I guess it does.
Do you know that the White Sox, I mean, this is incredible. You think your team's struggling. The White Sox have already been shut out six times this year. Six times! It's April 16th.
That's bad. That's brutal.
Yeah, Seth Lugo's 3-0 with a 1.05 so far. He's been, like, unhittable for the Royals. Michael Wacha hasn't been bad either.
Yeah, it just boggles my mind that no one wanted to give Seth Lugo a chance to start all these years.
Yeah, he's getting the last laugh. Josh, are you there in San Diego? I know you've been kind of jumping on and off the line there. Hi, Josh. How are you? Welcome to the show.
How's it going? Sorry. Yeah, so I just wanted to talk about Jackson Merrill. I met him at spring training when I brought my son, Jackson Merrill, to meet him. And I have to say, the dude was a infinite, like, consummate professional, consummate, like, hey, where's the kids at? I want to be out there. And my son following along and following his journey has been one of the coolest things as a dad seen. And every night we see him, on, you know, MLB Network, or we got season tickets, we're at the game. The kid is out there being an example for young kids and for the rest of the Padres, in my opinion.
Let me ask you now. You said your son, Jackson Merrill. What is that?
Yeah.
Your son's name is Jackson. His middle name's Merrill, or
what?
No. I'm Joshua Merrill. My son is Jackson Merrill.
Get out of here!
Awesome.
Really?
I'm dead serious. Yeah, 100%.
That is great. And
now, this obvious, you didn't name your son after this Jackson Merrill because you couldn't even have known about him,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
I think Jackson was, Padres Jackson Merrill's maybe eight whenever I named mine. So, yeah.
You need to get a photo with your son in a Merrill jersey and then Jackson Merrill in a Merrill jersey. That would be amazing.
Yeah, I have tons of them. Tons of them.
Oh, good.
I already ordered my number three Padres Merrill jersey, you know, because got to rep the family name. So I walk around the stadium and my son's wearing his, he wears number seven, he's worn it since he played T-ball. And so everyone's like, hey, you got the wrong number. And he's like, no, this is my jersey. And they're like, oh, touche, kid. So it's super cool.
Have you had the occasion yet to speak with Jackson Merrill?
Yeah, he said in spring training.
Oh, okay. You did talk to him. So your son has been introduced to the real Jackson Merrill.
So he caught Grand Pauly's first home run ball at spring training, and Grand Pauly gave him a bat and was like, hey, is your name really Jackson Merrill? He's like, yeah. So he's like, hold on, let me go get Jackson, and brought him out. And then the next day, Jackson came over and was like, hey, where's the little Jackson Merrill at? And like threw him a ball, like, come meet me after BP. I'll sign whatever you want, kid. This is awesome. And then, Padres blogger ran a story on it. So it was super cool, man.
Okay.
Cool.
All
That's
right.
So good.
Now I know.
I'm so
yes,
glad that we're
I've
in on this.
This
now.
Can you, are you on Twitter? I know you're on Instagram, but are you on Twitter?
I am not on Twitter now.
Okay. If you can Instagram me a picture or just post at me, I don't know how to do that on Instagram, to be honest, but I would be willing to retweet that also.
Yeah, we could retweet that. I'd love to get that up on
just
our
Matt Scraby. Matt Scraby.
That's so good.
Thank you for telling that story.
Awesome.
That's
Josh,
amazing.
I'm so glad you shared that with us. And when I can't wait to talk to Jackson Merrill now.
Yeah.
Because he'll be surprised that we know that he knows another Jackson Merrill.
Yes.
That's great.
It's a pretty cool story. It's a pretty cool Padres story.
That is fantastic.
Thank you very much
for sharing that. Very good. Wow. How about that?
That's awesome.
That's even better than me almost having the same name as Craig Ela.
Yes.
Remember the basketball player.
Yes, and now little Jackson Merrill can go to the park and have his name on the back of the jersey, and no one will yell at him, "When are you going in like they did me?" Because I have my name on the back of the jersey.
Jackson Merrill. Meet Jackson Merrill.
As if I couldn't love the real Jackson Merrill anymore.
That's a great story. Very good. All right. Good way to wrap up the first hour of the program. Thanks for sharing that, Josh. Daily Gambit next as we head towards Sam Levitt's Padre pregame show at 3:30 on 97.3 The Fan. Welcome back into Gwen and Chris, everybody. We are so happy you're with us on a Tuesday. We're happy to be with you, Chris Ello. Matt Scraby together in our Odyssey Palace studios. Tony Gwynn Jr., he's where we all would like to be. That is in the broadcast booth in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, where tonight the Padres will take on the Brewers in game two of a three-game series. Dylan Cease, off to a pretty good start, Scrab. Three starts. He's already got 20 Ks and an ERA at 2.16. He'll be on the hill tonight. Wade Miley, pretty good left-hander, making his season debut for the Brew Crew. Padres enter play just one game back of the fading Dodgers.
Fading.
In the National League West. Dodgers have dropped 3 out of 4. That's fading, as far as I'm concerned. We're going to get into our Daily Gambit here in just a moment. A couple of quick notes that I wanted to pass along from the world of baseball. I'll start with the elder generation out there. There aren't many who would remember Carl Erskine. He pitched 2 no-hitters as a mainstay of the Brooklyn Dodgers staff. He was a great World Series hero for those Brooklyn teams that year in, year out, battled the fabled New York Yankees.
Okay.
And there's a famous book called The Boys of Summer.
I've heard of it.
That is an unbelievably good tale of the Brooklyn teams of that era. And it takes you into the life and times of all of those players that were on all of those great Brooklyn teams and the seasons. And back when baseball was a different deal, it was a different time. These guys stayed teammates for decades, right? There was no free agency. Can you imagine? I mean, we kind of get upset now and again that guys, he's switching teams, you know, where's the loyalty? But imagine not having any ability to do that at all.
Yeah.
That's what these guys had. They played for Brooklyn. They made very little money. They had jobs in the offseason. And if they didn't like it, they couldn't leave. So
that's pretty brutal, I gotta say.
It is. Baseball had something
about a bad work environment.
Right. They had something called the reserve clause. And I don't remember all the rules about it, but one of the rules was you begin as a Brooklyn Dodger, you end as a Brooklyn Dodger unless they say so. Anyway, Carl Erskine passed today at the age of 97. So he had a wonderful life and a great pitcher. Had a 122.78 career record and went 20-6 in the 1953 season. There's only one player surviving from the very first Brooklyn Dodgers pennant and World Series winning team in 1955.
Really? Who is that?
Sandy Koufax.
Wow.
Is the only one.
Man, not only was he a great baseball player, but he got the life lottery, too, by living so long.
Yeah, well, Carl Erskine did all right.
That's true.
97 that's true. Isn't too bad.
No, that's not bad at all.
But, you know, this is an era that's, you know, a little older than me, even, Scraby. But a lot of my generation, their parents, baseball fans, they grew up following the Boys of Summer and the Yankees and the Dodgers. And this is a piece of baseball history. The other passing today was that of legendary skipper Whitey Herzog.
Oh, I've heard of him.
Passed away at the age of 92. Cardinals fans will remember Whitey, who led them to a World Series championship title in 82. They lost the World Series in 85 and also lost the World Series in 87, but they did win it in 82. Whitey Herzog was 92 years old. And he won 1,281 games and was voted into the Hall of Fame by the Veterans Committee in 2010. So Whitey Herzog, one of the great managers of all time, passes today at the age of 92. Scraby, we should be so lucky.
Right? Seriously.
To make it.
I would be very lucky.
Yeah.
Yeah, you say.
No, based on our ability to, you know, negotiate the world in which we live in, I don't know how good the chances are for us.
No. There's going to be a point in time
where...
You're
not supposed to agree with that.
Where there's going to be a point in time where I'm going to step onto like a manhole. I'm just going to fall in it.
You think that's it? That's where you're
going
to go.
I'm not going to go peacefully in the night, Chris. I'm going in a ball of flames.
You're
going to
make some noise.
Yes, that's just how my life is.
All right. Well, let's hope that that manhole is well off into your future.
I think it is.
Manhole cover. By the way, with all the people walking along looking at nothing but their phones nowadays, surprised people don't fall into manhole covers on a daily basis.
Actually, now they have, in some cities, they have warning signs for you to look up so you don't run into poles.
I think that it's best that you just run into the pole and learn the lesson. Hey, I got to keep my head up once in a while.
I have only run into a pole once.
Did you really?
And I felt
I felt really stupid.
I felt real stupid because it was like, it was in, I think, San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
And I was doing some sort of work thing before radio. And I was typing on my phone and I completely just hit this pole and like fell backwards, like not to the ground. But it was so embarrassing.
By the way.
You ever hit a pole? Have you ever walked into a pole?
No, I don't walk and look down at my phone constantly like the rest of you.
Okay.
By the way, we should give a little shout out to Chicago Cubs first baseman Michael Busch, who's homered in five consecutive games.
Oh, wow.
Not bad.
Not bad at all.
Dodgers traded him away in the offseason.
There you go.
So Michael Busch making some noise for the Cubbies. All right, let's get to our daily gambit, see what's in store for us there.
Do you like money?
I think about money a lot.
Do you like money without doing anything?
Winning.
Do you want to make money while watching sports?
I think Washington is a mortal lock.
Washington! Woohoo!
If you answered yes, this is your segment. Just don't blame us when you lose.
Well, nothing is ever your fault.
It's your game. Take it.
Gwen and Chris go through the top bets of the day in The Daily Gambit on 97.3 The Fan.
Daily Gambit's our daily sports betting segment here on Gwen and Chris. Please, everybody, gamble responsibly. I was also trying to find someone in the chat brought up that Denver University won the NHL.
Frozen Four.
Yes, and there were two brothers on the team, I believe, from San Diego. And
I did not know that.
I cannot find their names, but if you are out there listening, congratulations to them.
San Diego's got some pretty good youth hockey, better than one would think for a warm weather
city.
I
wanted to play hockey my entire childhood, and we could never find a place that did it.
Now, you know I played on a weekly basis there for many years with my group of guys.
I did not know that.
Down at the Joan Croc Center until some sort of tendon injury in my ankle.
Uh-oh.
About 4 or 5 years ago, I no longer...
Wait, you were doing this up until 4 or 5 years ago?
Yes, I no longer could turn to the left. My skate would give way and I would fall down. And this happened for like 6 straight months.
Oh, man.
And I don't know what it was. No doctors could really figure it out. It was like a tendon thing or something happened. And every time I turned left, I fell down. And it just happened for like 6 months, and I took acupuncture.
Wow.
I did everything to try and get the strength back.
And this is in the last 6 or 7 years?
Oh, yeah. I played hockey for like 14 years every Tuesday.
Learned something new about
you. Yeah, me and my group of guys there.
Where do you play? Like,
well, we started playing up in Escondido.
Oh,
at the ice complex.
Yeah.
We used to play, and this is a long time ago now, we played Friday nights at midnight, because that was the only time the ice was available.
Oh, my gosh.
And then we got a little... it was called Pickup Hockey, and that was the name of the business.
Okay.
My friend Martin Saint-Amour took it over, former Gull player, and we started playing at the Joan Croc Center in La Mesa on Tuesday nights. good friend of mine, Mike Jackson, who was an old board operator at the other sports station, helped get me into it, and I loved it. I mean, it was about as much fun as I had every week was going out and playing ice hockey.
Now, are you guys, like, full-on, like, checking each other into the boards?
No checking. Okay. We would run into each other on accident from time to time.
Because you can't figure out where you're going?
Well, it does happen, but there was no checking, and, you know, we had goaltenders and all the gear, and we would play for, like, an hour and a half. And, you know, we'd have a great, it was really fun, but I had to give it up. My foot would not hold up anymore.
That's pretty
crazy. I wonder now, I honestly haven't skated in like 4 years. Be very interesting to see if I just went back out there, if I could actually skate again. Maybe it healed itself in all this
time. Can we go so I can see when you turn left if you just fall over?
It was the weirdest thing, Scrape. I was skating along fine. I could turn to the right and doing everything I could do.
It's really funny.
And then I turned to the left, my leg just gave way and I'd fall. And I'm like, what happened?
It's really, really funny.
I didn't even know what happened.
It's really funny.
And this happened it wasn't funny. It ended my hockey days.
I just want to see it happen. All right. Let's. That's something I learned. I knew that you maybe had played in the past, but not as recently.
I was a broadcaster for the Gulls 10 years, so I was pretty much into hockey there.
All right. Let's get into our bets.
Okay.
Padres and Brewers. Last night we bet on whether or not the total score would be over or under 8.5 runs. You said under, I said over, and over was correct. It was 7-3, so 10 runs.
Yeah. Joe Musgrove, by the way, we have talked about everything about that game last night except for no Joe. That is a pro's effort right there.
That is a pro's effort.
You give up three early, and then you say no more.
And you don't have your stuff.
You don't have your good stuff. You don't give up anything else. And you put your team in a position to come back and get the win for you. And they did exactly that.
It's a major league appearance.
Well done.
Joe Musgrove was the next bet we made. 5.5 Ks over under. Both of us said over, and we were wrong about this. He only had 3 strikeouts last night.
Well, that's because he didn't have his good stuff. For sure.
That's because he didn't have his good stuff.
We just talked about that. Yeah,
That's true. He didn't get the swing and the misses like he usually does.
Right.
Last night, the Rockies were at the Philadelphia Phillies. The Phillies were -1.5 runs. And we both chose Philly, and we should have chose the Rockies because the Rockies lost, but they only lost by 1 run. It was a 2-1 affair last night.
In 10 innings, Kyle Freeland had the moment of the night. Now, we know that this guy has a short fuse.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember the time against the Padres, no more than 2 or 3 years ago, Kyle Freeland took a bat and beat up the dugout.
The dugout light.
It's one of the, right. It's one of the, and then walked away to let somebody else clean up the mess.
Yes.
That's Kyle Freeland for you.
Did he do something similar?
He's a freak, this guy. at least he, you know, appears to be. I don't know him. Last night, he was pinch running in the 9th inning. I don't know. They didn't have any other position players, so they had to put him in. He's at third base. Wild pitch. He comes in to try to score the winning run, or the go-ahead run there in the top of the 9th. And he collided with the pitcher for Philadelphia coming down to cover home plate. And there's a collision, and the pitcher landed on top of him. And Freeland tweaked his leg, and he was hurt, and he was rolling around in pain. He was also out. Then he went into the dugout, and he just screamed like crazy at the home plate umpire for God knows what.
Get over it, Kyle.
Kyle Freeland, you got to just take a chill pill, pal.
I think mainly a lot of that is that he's stuck on the Rockies, and he has nowhere else to release his anger.
He might think that he's stuck on the Rockies, but I don't know that he's good enough to start for any other team.
Oh, he's good enough to start for another team.
So sure.
The A's?
Don't be so sure.
Real quick, the hockey players that went to Denver University, Zeev and Shaya, and I'm going to spell the last name so I don't mispronounce it, B-U-I-U-M, Buum.
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 All right, good for those
Zeev
guys.
And Shaya.
Congratulations.
Congratulations. TJ said they played at San Diego Ice Arena in Miramesa.
Okay, very good.
All right, back to the bets. Minnesota Wild at the L.A. Kings. And the Kings were -1.5 on the puck line. You chose the Wild, Chris. I chose the Kings. And I was sorely mistaken.
Wild win.
Wild win, 3-1.
We both went 1-3 last night, so not a lot to write home about. Do you have any parlays for tonight?
Yes, real quick. The Padres are expecting large crowds this weekend when they welcome the Blue Jays to town, so there are very limited tickets remaining for all 3 games. Visit Padres.com/tickets today for your chance to go see the Blue Jays come into town over the weekend. My parlay is a 4-way parlay.
And it's going to be the Padres on the money line, so they just have to win. It's plus 425 total. Manny Machado needs to get a hit in the game. And I'm going to say that he gets a hit because he continues his hitting streak. I believe last night was his ninth straight game with a hit.
Okay.
Seven plus Dylan Cease strikeouts. And no runs in the first inning at all. No
by
runs.
Either team. Is that right?
By either team, correct.
No runs in the first inning. So you could be out of it right away. If somebody scores in the first inning.
That's it.
Your parlay is over.
Yeah. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Good luck to you.
Thank you.
All right, here's what we have for tonight. We have NBA playoff action. So we'll start with this. New Orleans Pelicans, 1-point favorite over the Lakers tonight. In the winner of this game advances to the playoffs to take on Denver. Tony Gwynn Jr. says, even though he's scared of Denver, he wants to win tonight, doesn't want to take any chances. I can't see the Lakers losing this game. I got a LeBron James. I'm going to take the Lakers plus one. It's at New Orleans, though.
I'm taking the Pels.
You're going to go with the Pels.
And my guy, Zion.
Yeah, you love Zion. All of a sudden, you've really switched allegiances
He actually played this year and showed that he cared about the sport of basketball.
All right. The other game tonight is an elimination game. So we always say this phrase. It's a must-win game. Actually, this one is. Golden State at Sacramento. Loser, season is over.
Ooh.
It's at Sacramento, but the Warriors, I think thanks to their history more than anything, are a 2.5-point favorite.
Mm.
Scraby, you're up. Do the Warriors keep it alive?
Something tells me this season has been really hard on the Warriors, and I feel like secretly, deep down inside, they just want to go home and...
They're ready to let go of the rope.
They had one of their assistant coaches pass away during the season. Draymond Green's been suspended so many times. I'm going to say the Kings win this game.
Gonna take Sacramento plus the 2.5. You get 2.5 also.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
You know, that seems like the smart bet. It really does. But I'm going to just go on the... magic of Steph Curry. It's really all the Warriors have left. I'll take the Warriors and give the points. Steve Kerr doesn't let the season end tonight.
All right.
Here's a fun one.
Ooh.
Combined points. LeBron James and Steph Curry.
Okay.
Over under 56. And what I did is I just took their two, betting spreads and I 28. Added them together. I think LeBron was 25.5, Steph's 27.5. Anyway, whatever it is, 56 points.
Okay.
The LeBron and Steph score more than that.
I'm going to say over because both of them have to have huge games for their team to most likely win.
I will agree with you. Philadelphia and Colorado. Do we dare bet on the Rockies to make it back-to-back underneath the spread?
No.
Philadelphia's favored by 1.5 runs. I'll take Philadelphia again.
Me too.
Even though I lost last night.
This is a game of statistics.
There's no way the Rockies win this bet two times in a row. Padres, Brewers, 8.5 runs. Scrabby, you're first. Last night they had 10.
I'm going to go under this time.
Under. That seems like the smart play.
All right.
But I'll go over.
Okay.
Just to create a little excitement. All right, there's our picks for today.
I have the on the other side, because we need to quickly get the break, I have an update on Jake Cronenworth from Mike Schilt.
All right, we'll get that to you in a moment. Cronenworth's not in the lineup tonight. Why? How long will he be out? We'll answer that after traffic. That means Sammy Levitt, the great one, is coming up with the Padre pregame show shortly. Tomorrow, if you're wondering, the game gets underway at 10:10 tomorrow morning in Milwaukee.
Man, they get their games early.
They
12,
get in
10?
And out of there. They don't mess around.
Guess
that's right.
Not.
Yeah, they want to go home. I got to get to the...
What else do you have to do?
It's Milwaukee.
Exactly.
There's plenty of beer to be drunk.
Okay.
Drink.
Well, man.
Drinking.
Should have gone there earlier.
Whatever the case is. By the way, I've been to Milwaukee, I believe once, maybe twice. But the one time that I do recall getting there, and I was downtown by some of the Miller beer. They got a Miller beer brewing.
Well, it's Miller. It used to be Miller Park.
Yeah, that's not Miller. Yeah, right. It used to be Miller Park. Anyway... the one thing I recall about Milwaukee, don't know if it's still true, don't need to be poking fun at anybody out there who's from Milwaukee.
Uh-oh.
but it stunk.
Oh, like what?
I don't know. Just
like there cheese?
Was, no, just like something I didn't like.
That's
all I can say.
Was it like? Was it people?
Huh?
Was it people?
No, it was the atmosphere. I don't know.
It's probably because they have so many cows in Wisconsin.
No, I think it had to do with the brewing company.
Oh, that makes sense. Actually,
I think that's what it
had
to do with.
Hops don't smell the greatest. I've heard.
Well, it didn't.
it didn't.
But I did go to a ball game in Milwaukee.
Oh, okay.
And the bratwursts. As Tony likes to say.
They were delish.
Hey, we got good news for you Padre fans. Scraby is going to model this for you if you're watching on the YouTube chat.
Yes.
Are you going to model it?
I'm going to put it on right now.
All right, coming up. Padres and Phillies, April 26th through 28th.
Mm-hmm.
Be there for weekend promotions like the Padres House Band presented by Nova Kombucha. I guess that's how you pronounce it.
Yes, you got it right.
Enjoy the live performances of oldies and new hit music while sipping on select drink specials. That's April 26th through 28th when the Phillies are here. And then April 29th through May 1, Padres and the Cincinnati Reds. On Monday, April 29th, 6:40, Padres knit beanie. There it is. Scraby's got
ooh,
it.
Ah.
And it'll look a whole lot better on you than it looks on him.
I think my head's too big. I need a bigger one.
You're not a good beanie model.
What? I love beanies.
I know you do, but that one looks like it's squeezing your brains out.
Can you tell everybody about the super secret thing about it?
I can.
Okay.
The little pom-pom on the top, they just call it a pom.
Mm-hmm.
That is removable.
Yes,
you can take that off if you like.
I don't know why you would, though.
Some people like the skin knit beanie cap look like that. Not bad. Looks pretty good on you.
All right.
Presented by SDG&E, it's perfect for the cool San Diego Knights. The first 40,000 fans in attendance will receive the Padres knit beanie, complete with a removable palm. That is the Monday game, April 29th, when the Padres host Cincinnati. The brown beanie also has a Padres patch and brown and gold palm. First 40,000. Yeah, I already said all that. Okay.
I'm actually going to, I don't know if
I'm now, what
say
is this,
this.
Scraby? I'm just going to take these home.
No, you can't. I have to give them back to Adam. Them.
These are little cool giveaways.
Yeah.
If you're on YouTube, you can see it. If you're not.
Little pins.
But they're little pins that kind of look like they might be baseball cards. This is Fernando. This is Ha-Seon Kim. Ha-Seon's got the City Connect on. They're pretty neat. Collectible pins. I don't know exactly when they're giving these away, but we have them. So.
Yes.
They must be.
It's going to happen at some point. I saw them being advertised on TV as well.
On the docket soon. All right, let's get to Jay Cronenworth now. He's not in the lineup tonight. A little calf tightness. Jerkson Profar will be there batting third at first base tonight. Jose Azokar will play left field. And the Padres also made a roster move with Matthew Batten returning to the big leagues. And Brett Sullivan being sent down. But what of Jake Cronenworth? Mike Schilt spoke before today's game.
We're still in the process of figuring it out. It's in a unique spot, you know, because it's not necessarily the calf, and it kind of leaks into the hamstring. But the good news is he walked out without any real discomfort yesterday. And is presenting pretty well today. He's obviously getting treatment. So clearly we're mindful and hopeful that, you know, it won't be a long-term situation, but we're still in the process of figuring that out.
Do we have an estimation of when we might see him again?
No, we don't. Like I said, we're in the process of figuring it out, but we're taking it, you know, literally day by day.
In that Matthew is a right-handed batter and plays first base. You went with Jerkson at first base, and was that to get Azokar?
Yeah, it was more about the lefty on the mound for them and get Sugar, who's done a lot of things really well for us, a chance to get a start and get out there and get some at-bats.
All right, I don't mean to laugh because I know the reporters are doing their very
best. Oh, yeah,
best.
We're not laughing at the reporters.
We're not.
No.
We're just laughing kind of at the situation. He just said they have no idea how long he'll be out. And the very next question was, do you know how long he'll be out?
Because you might you maybe could trip them up a little
bit. They might give you a little more information on the question. I get it. I really am not making fun of that question because I have been there and have asked the same one.
Yeah.
But it sounds kind of funny hear it in a vacuum.
Yeah, it's really funny.
We have no idea how long he'll be out. Excuse me. Do you know how long he'll be out? I just think it's, you know, the dance.
What if he just went like, you know what? He's going to be out for 6 games.
Well, you could, but then if he's out for 5, then people say you were lying.
That's true.
Apparently, these pins are giving away this Sunday's game.
Yeah.
I've been told.
This Sunday.
This is Sunday against the Blue Jays. Game that you and I will be attending.
We will be attending, by the way, that game. In the suite. What the heck?
What? They're letting us in there again?
I think so.
Don't they know that we terrorized the suite last time we were there?
I've never spent so much time in the suite in my life.
No, I've never been there twice in 1 month.
I've never been there twice in 1 season.
Let's check some traffic before we make way for Sammy Levitt.
From the 97.3 The Fan Traffic Center, here's Kelly Davick.
Traffic is sponsored by Robert Half. Some trouble heading into Hillcrest this afternoon. Got a car fire blocking the right lane. Stop on 163 just before Washington Street. Also, a collision on westbound 8 at Mission Gorge. No details as to whether that is blocking any lanes. And collision on southbound 67 just past the 52. Tow truck is on scene. Vehicle went up the right shoulder embankment. I'm Kelly Danica with Gwen and Chris, San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. Robert Half is here to help. Our recruiting professionals use proprietary AI to connect businesses with highly skilled talent. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Thank you very much, Kelly Danick there. All right, a couple of notes to leave you with here before we make way for Sam Levitt in the pregame show. Padres in Milwaukee tonight. Speaking of Milwaukee, Bucks preparing to begin the playoffs without Giannis Antetokounmpo. Giannis was hurt in the, I believe it was the last regular season game or the second to last regular season game. He did not practice today. Bucks take on the Pacers in the first round of the playoffs. Start a little later. Antetokounmpo actually missed the final 3 games. Non-contact injury, they called it.
Wow.
All right. Good luck with that.
You know, you're getting paid like, never mind.
People like Scraby will now complain that Giannis Antetokounmpo never plays. What a wimp.
Well, I mean, you kind of got to play at the most important time of the year. No one cares about game 25.
Congratulations to Caitlin Clark, who was indeed the number one choice last night. Cameron Brink of Stanford was number 2. J.C. Sheldon, a guard for Ohio State, was number 5. I bring that up because both she and Cameron Brink played here against the Aztecs in San Diego for the last couple of seasons. Women's basketball continuing to grow, and hopefully you out there will make a note. Go see some games next year.
Whoops.
Here comes Sammy Levitt. We're back tomorrow after Padre baseball. So long.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, welcome back to the show. 3:25 is the time. That means Sammy Levitt, the great one, is coming up with the Padre pregame show shortly. Tomorrow, if you're wondering, the game gets underway at 10:10. Tomorrow morning in Milwaukee.
Man, they get their games early.
They
12,
get in
10?
And out of there. They don't mess around.
Guess
that's right.
Not.
Yeah, they want to go home. They got to get to the...
What else do you have to do?
It's Milwaukee.
Exactly.
There's plenty of beer to be drunk.
Okay.
Drink.
Well, man.
Drinking.
Should have gone there earlier.
Whatever the case is. By the way, I've been to Milwaukee, I believe once, maybe twice. But the one time that I do recall getting there and I was downtown by some of the Miller beer... They got a Miller beer brewing.
Well, it's Miller. It used to be Miller Park.
Yeah, it's not Miller. Yeah, right. It used to be Miller Park. Anyway, The one thing I recall about Milwaukee, don't know if it's still true, don't need to be poking fun at anybody out there who's from Milwaukee. But it stunk.
Oh, like what?
I don't know. Just
like there cheese?
No, just like something I didn't like.
That's
all I can say.
Was it people?
I don't know. Huh?
Was it people?
No, it was the atmosphere. I don't know.
It's probably because they have so many cows in Wisconsin.
No, I think it had to do with the brewing company.
Oh, that makes sense, actually.
I think that's what it
had
to do with.
Hops don't smell the greatest, I've heard.
Well, it didn't.
it didn't.
But I did go to a ball game in Milwaukee.
Oh, okay.
And the bratwursts. As Tony likes to say.
They were delish.
Hey, we got good news for you Padre fans. Scraby is going to model this for you if you're watching on the YouTube chat.
Yes.
Are you going to model it?
I'm going to put it on right now.
All right, coming up. Padres and Phillies, April 26th through 28th.
Mm-hmm.
Be there for weekend promotions like the Padres House Band presented by Nova Kombucha. I guess that's how you pronounce it.
Yes, you got it right.
Enjoy the live performances of oldies and new hit music while sipping on select drink specials. That's April 26th through 28th when the Phillies are here. And then April 29th through May 1, Padres and the Cincinnati Reds. On Monday, April 29th, 6:40, Padres knit beanie. There it is. Scraby's got
ooh,
it. And it'll look a whole lot better on you than it looks on him.
I think my head's too big. I need a bigger one.
You're not a good beanie model.
What? I love beanies.
Now, I know you do, but that one looks like it's squeezing your brains out.
Can you tell everybody about the super secret thing about it?
I can.
Okay.
The little pom-pom on the top, they just call it a pom.
Mm-hmm.
That is removable.
Yes,
you can take that off if you like.
I don't know why you would, though.
Some people like the skin knit beanie cap look like that. It's not bad. Looks pretty good on you.
All right.
Presented by SDG&E, it's perfect for the cool San Diego Knights. The first 40,000 fans in attendance will receive the Padres knit beanie, complete with a removable pom. That is the Monday game, April 29th, when the Padres host Cincinnati. The brown beanie also has a Padres patch and brown and gold pom. First 40,000. Yeah, I already said all that. Okay.
I'm actually going to, I don't know if
now,
I
now, what
say
is this, Scraby? I'm just going to take these home.
No, you can't. I have to give them back to Adam. Them.
These are little cool giveaways.
Yeah.
If you're on YouTube, you can see it. If you're not.
Little pins.
But they're little pins that kind of look like they might be baseball cards. This is Fernando. This is Ha-Sung Kim. Ha-Sung's got the City Connect on. They're pretty neat. Collectible pins. I don't know exactly when they're giving these away, but we have them. So.
Yes.
They must be.
It's going to happen at some point because I saw them being advertised on TV as well.
On the docket soon. All right, let's get to Jake Cronenworth now. He's not in the lineup tonight. A little calf tightness. Jerickson Profar will be there batting third at first base tonight. Jose Azokar will play left field. And the Padres also made a roster move with Matthew Batten returning to the big leagues and Brett Sullivan being sent down. But what of Jake Cronenworth? Mike Schilt spoke before today's game.
We're still in the process of figuring it out. It's in a unique spot, you know, because it's not necessarily the calf, and it kind of leaks into the hamstring. But the good news is he walked out without any real discomfort yesterday. And is presenting pretty well today. He's obviously getting treatment. So clearly we're mindful and hopeful that, you know, it won't be a long-term situation, but we're still in the process of figuring that out.
Do you have an estimation of when we might see him again?
No, we don't. Like I said, we're in the process of figuring it out, but we're taking it, you know, literally day by day.
In that, Matthew is a right-handed batter and plays first base. You went with Jerickson at first base, and then was that to get Azokar?
Yeah, it was more about the lefty on the mound for them and get Sugar, who's done a lot of things really well for us, a chance to get a start and get out there and get some at-bats.
All right, I don't mean to laugh because I know the reporters are doing their very
best.
Oh,
yeah, we're not laughing at the reporters.
We're not.
No.
We're just laughing kind of at the situation. He just said they have no idea how long he'll be out. And the very next question was, Do you know how long he'll be out?
Because you might, you maybe could trip them up a little
bit. They might give you a little more information on the question. I get it. I really am not making fun of that question because I have been there and have asked the same one. But it just, it sounds kind of funny
really
when you hear it in a vacuum.
Yeah, it's really funny.
We have no idea how long he'll be out. Excuse me, do you know how long he'll be out? I just think it's, you know, the dance.
What if he just went like, you know what, he's going to be out for 6 games.
Well, you could, but then if he's out for 5, then you people say you were lying.
That's true.
Apparently, these Pens are giving away this Sunday's game.
Yeah.
I've been told.
This Sunday.
This is Sunday against the Blue Jays. A game that you and I will be attending.
We will be attending,
by the way,
that game. In the suite. What the heck?
What? They're letting us in there again?
I think so.
Don't they know that we terrorized the suite last time we were there?
I've never spent so much time in the suite in my life.
No, I've never been there twice in 1 month.
I've never been there twice in one season.
Let's check some traffic before we make way for Sammy Levitt.
From the 97.3 The Fan Traffic Center, here's Kelly Davick.
Traffic is sponsored by Robert Half. Some trouble heading into Hillcrest this afternoon. Got a car fire blocking the right lane. Sap on 163 just before Washington Street. Also a collision on westbound 8 at Mission Gorge. No details as to whether that is blocking any lanes. And collision on southbound 67 just past the 52. Tow truck is on scene. Vehicle went up the right shoulder embankment. I'm Kelly Danick with Gwen and Chris, San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. Robert Half is here to help. Our recruiting professionals use proprietary AI to connect businesses with highly skilled talent. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Thank you very much, Kelly Danick there. All right, a couple of notes to leave you with here before we make way for Sam Levitt in the pregame show. Padres in Milwaukee tonight. Speaking of Milwaukee, Bucks preparing to begin the playoffs without Giannis Antetokounmpo. Giannis was hurt in the, I believe it was the last regular season game or the second to last regular season game. He did not practice today. Bucks take on the Pacers in the first round of the playoffs. Start a little later. Antetokounmpo actually missed the final 3 games. Non-contact injury, they called it.
Wow.
All right. Good luck with that.
You know, you're getting paid like, never mind.
People like Scraby will now complain that Giannis Antetokounmpo never plays. What a wimp.
Well, I mean, you kind of got to play at the most important time of the year. No one cares about game 25.
Congratulations to Caitlin Clark, who was indeed the number one choice last night. Cameron Brink of Stanford was number 2. J.C. Sheldon, a guard for Ohio State, was number 5. I bring that up because both she and Cameron Brink played here against the Aztecs in San Diego over the last couple of seasons. Women's basketball continuing to grow, and hopefully you out there will make a note. Go see some games next year.
Whoops.
Here comes Sammy Levitt. We're back tomorrow after Padre baseball. So long.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.